Children, may his favor be upon you, and Well, good morning, everybody. I just love that video. I just so love that video. And we thought it'd be good to start our time this morning with that, because it's so fantastic and it just lifts our spirits. But it also says something about what we believe as Christians. We want to bless, or I believe that God wants to bless the church and our nation. And so it's what it means for each and every one of us that God loves us, and he wants maybe a fresh blessing upon us this morning, in fact. But just if you are a visitor amongst us this morning, it's great to see you. My name's Mark. I'm the minister here at Emmanuel Baptist Church. And if this is your first time on one of our live streams, then you're more and more than welcome. It's great to have you. And if you're on the telephone, and we have a few folk who are doing that, it's really good to know that you've joined us as well. But it's great to have you with us, and I pray that you will really enjoy our time this morning. So let's acknowledge God's presence. It's really important for us to do that. So let's pray. So come, Holy Spirit, into our time this morning. We thank you that you do want to bless this nation. You want to bless our world. And that, Lord, you have done that in so many ways. So as we consider those things this morning, we pray that, Lord God, you would be with us. So we commit this time to you, and pray that you would touch and reach our hearts and our lives by your presence with us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Great to have you. Okay, if you hear a voice in the background, by the way, that's Rich. You'll sing of him a bit later. So, a few announcements, if I could. Not many, but one or two. Now, firstly, there's no Worship on Wednesday, or WOW, as we call it, in Emmanuel. But we're having a prayer time instead. So that will be an usual time, 7 o'clock, for about half an hour. Information will be sent out about that over the week. If you're wanting to catch up on any of the other of our videos and services, which we've done in previous weeks, and there is a whole variety of them, then here on this Facebook page, you can do that. So just scroll through some of the videos and some of the other online messages. You're welcome to have a look. And today, after the service, we've also got an opportunity. I'm sorry, it's going to be a bit more of me, but we've got a Zoom opportunity. Information is going to come up on the comments feed. So if you just want to click on that at the end of the service or during the service, it will take you to a Zoom conversation with myself, and that will be so you can ask any questions you might have about faith and things of faith. So if you are searching, if you are thinking about who is this God thing, then there's an opportunity for you to ask me anything. I might not have all the answers, but you can certainly ask. But you're welcome to do that. And then straight after that, we have our normal coffee time. For those of us who are part of Emmanuel, it gives us that chance to reconnect, which we haven't been able to do in recent weeks. But you're welcome to join that, and you have to have registered for that. But that's not a problem. I think most of you have already registered anyway. But if you want to be kept informed of things like that going on, then please feel free to connect with us. You can send us an email, you can even leave a message on the comments now, and we'll pick it up and we'll connect you so that you can stay in touch with those sorts of things. Okay, I think that's all that I need to say, so we're going to go straight into a kid's spot, and Rich is going to do that for you. Over to you, mate.
Hello everybody, it's good to be with you today. I'm Richard, I'm the youth minister here at Emmanuel Baptist Church. And I want to just share a little story with you, which I want to get a picture up. Here we go. Okay, so I want to ask you, have you ever been lost? Have you ever ended up somewhere and you didn't know how you got there? Or have you ever not known where it is you are or where you're meant to be going? I want to tell you a story. It's a true story, and I know it's true because it happened to me, about a time when I got lost when I was little. Now, if you're a parent and you've ever been in a supermarket and turned around and not seen your kid, you'll know how terrifying that is. But on the other side of the fence, if you're a kid and you don't know where you are and you don't know how you're going to get home, it can be quite scary. Growing up, I lived in a town called Letchworth, a lovely town, lots of wide open spaces and gardens. It was very safe, and my mum and dad used to let me go out on bike rides. And one day I went out with a friend of mine called Gavin, who was a good few years older than me at school. And Gavin took me on a bike ride into a part of Letchworth that I'd never been before. And as we were riding our bikes, as we were cycling along, we came onto a street and we were riding our bikes. And all of a sudden I heard barking. And I was being chased by a dog. Now that dog might look very small, but when you're small, when you're around 9 or 10, being chased by a dog on your bike, it can be quite scary. And what was even scarier was the dog suddenly latched onto the heel of my shoe. And I fell off my bike and I thought I was going to be eaten by a dog. And my friend Gavin, which is even worse, bolted. So I'm in a part of Letchworth I don't know. I'm being eaten by a dog. And the person who knows where we are and is taking me on a tour on our bike has vanished. The lady who owned the dog did what all irresponsible dog owners do. She came out and she told me that I was riding a bike and it scared her dog, and her dog doesn't normally do this. Some dog owners are lovely, some dog owners aren't. She took her dog into her house and left me as a 9 or 10 year old quite shaken up in Letchworth. And I can remember pushing my bike thinking I've got no idea where I am. There were teeth marks in my shoe, and I thought, how am I going to get home? And I was pushing my bike along, thinking, I don't know where I am. I don't know whether I should be going this way or that. And as I walked along, there were some people who could see me. And at this point, I was probably crying. And actually, this is the really sad thing. Okay, so get some tissues ready. I can remember seeing some people on the other side of a road as I was walking along, pushing my bike, crying. And I can remember saying, please help me, I'm lost, I don't know where I am. And they didn't. They saw a little boy crying, asking for help, and they walked back into their house. Which is shocking, isn't it? Absolutely shocking. And as I walked along, pushing my bike, wondering how I was going to get home, absolutely scared, absolutely lost, praying, thinking, how am I going to get home? Someone did ask if they could help me. Someone came out of their house, seeing me crying, and they said, are you okay? And I said, no, I'm lost. I don't know where I am. I don't know how to get home. I said, could you ring my dad and get him to come and pick me up? And the man asked what my dad's name was. And when I said, my dad's Andrew Doherty, he said, oh, I know him. He's a minister in one of the churches. Do you want to come in and phone him? You can use our phone. Now, a stranger saying, do you want to come into my house and use my phone? I was quite wary. And I thought, I actually asked him. I actually said, are you trying to trick me? And he said, no, I really know your dad. Come in and use my phone. Now, I was scared for a different reason now. Because I thought, if I go into this man's house, that might be the end of me. I might never be seen again. And I think, being a grown-up now, what I should have said is, well, why don't you ring him then? Here's his number. I'll write it down for you. I'll tell you it. You go and phone him and he'll come and pick me up. But I didn't. Okay. I left my bike at the front of the house thinking, well, at least there's some evidence that I'm here. And I walked into this stranger's house, which is very risky. And I used his phone and my dad came and he picked me up. You see, in those days, we didn't have mobile phones, okay? You couldn't just carry one in your pocket, and if you got in trouble, you needed a landline or you needed money to use a dial-up machine. I went into this man's kitchen, and I used his phone. And not long after, my dad came in a car and rescued me. Now, I was lost. I didn't know where I was. I needed help. I asked for it and some people wouldn't give it. I asked for it and someone offered it. And actually, it was scary. It was a risk going into that stranger's house. I probably shouldn't have done it. It took faith. But what was more important is that when I called my dad, he came and found me. The Bible talks about God as a father. Not a scary, angry, far away, bad dad, but a good, good father who loves us, and as a story Jesus tells, runs to find people who are lost, people like me. Now maybe you might be feeling lost at the moment, maybe everything's changed. You're really unhappy in the coronavirus situation. You don't know what you're meant to be doing. Maybe as a teenager, you've not been able to sit your exams, or everything's up in the air about university next year. Or maybe you're feeling lost because you don't know where your place is in life. And I would encourage you that, like me, you need to call the Father and ask for help. And when we do, he comes and he finds us and he takes us home. I'm going to hand over to Adam now, who's going to lead us in our first bit of worship.
Good morning, church. Thank you, Mark. We're going to start with "My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty." Can you pop some pans out? A little bit of dancing around the living room or around the kitchen or wherever you are.
Bread, sweet as wine, my
is Christ, and He is mine.
How can
I sin and know such joy? Because of Jesus, as all the love are in His hands. Christ is faith, a simple man, accepted child, forgiven son. Because of Jesus, and I will sing my songs of love. Can know His peace, captive hearts can be released. The King has come, the King of love has come. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship You. I worship You. You are here,
working in this place. I worship You. I worship You.
I worship You.
Thanks, Adam. It's really good. Bless you for that. We've started to think about getting lost, and we're going to hear a story from one of our more senior members of the church, Bob Thorpe, who's going to tell you his story. Thanks.
Hi, Bob. For those watching online, could you tell us a little bit about who you are and where you grew up?
Yeah, I'm Bob Thorpe. I was born in 1927 in New York. The capital of the north, and I grew up there. I did eventually leave home and go and work somewhere else, but for the first part of my life I was living and working in York.
And were you a church going man growing
no,
up?
No, I wasn't, no. None of my family were church members. I didn't know anybody personally who was a church member anyhow. They were just aliens to us lads then. We weren't part of it. They were part of something else. Never against them, but not really interested in what they're doing and what they've got to say, which was not much at that time. But as I grew up, of course, things did develop differently.
Yeah, well, we're doing an interview for a church now, so something must have changed. So what led you from York, not going to church, not really knowing anything about Christianity, to becoming a Christian down south in Swanage?
Well, yeah, it was quite easy. It started with a nine-year-old boy who was a Christian, member of a Christian family. In fact, I had, by that time, met this Christian family who were aliens as far as I was concerned, but they were wonderful people. And I learned, one something there that I never forgotten, that they gave unconditional love. They gave that to me. And hitherto, I'd had to fight for my love, or earn it in some way, or try and get enough credit points to have a bit of love, or whatever. But no, they gave it unconditionally, and that amazed me, and also not just impressed me, but gave me something to live for. That they were there on my side, although we were on each other's side, we were opposed. And I did at some time. One of the younger boys told his mother, we were walking in the woods, and he said he wanted to speak to me privately. 9-year-old private conversation. Oh, what excitement! You know, what next? But I did condescend, and I was supposed to hang behind in a procession, and he'd catch up with me. He did, and he said, I want to talk to you. Well, for a 9-year-old boy to say to an adult, I want to talk to you, is quite something a little different. And he had my attention immediately. And the upshot of it was that he was upset that I wasn't a Christian and I wouldn't meet together with him and the rest of the family in heaven. He was convinced that I was not going to make heaven because I wasn't a Christian. And I tried my best to say, well, not everybody Christians, you know, there are other people like me. But it didn't do any good for him. And the only thing that I could do good for him was he said, have you thought about being a Christian? Well, straight from a 9-year-old boy with a question like that, you can't dodge. So I said, no, I haven't, but I will think about it. He said, do you promise me you'll think about it? Well, of course, I did think about it, and I did have to think about it. I had to keep up my promise for him. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, I really don't know anything about it at all. What am I against the faith for? when I don't even know what it is. And at that time, they were running a course, or I saw a sign outside Howard Road Church that they were doing an Alpha course, and Alpha was learning about Christianity. So that's ready-made, Lord. You've provided me with what I wanted. Now I'll go to this and find out. And it went on from there. So a 9-year-old boy started me off thinking about religion and carrying forward to go to an Alpha course. And during the Alpha course, I became convinced that I'd been wrong. I had missed a lot of things. I hadn't understood a lot of things. And I wanted to not oppose it, but to enter it, but to go more. And I didn't feel worthy enough till later. And then I did go and ask to be confirmed.
It's wonderful, Bob. That's a really good story. So, looking at your life since becoming a Christian, what would you say is the one biggest difference that following Jesus has made to you?
Well, I've got an end project. I've got an end in view. I never had before. I didn't think about much about life and how long it would be and what would happen and everything. And I did make jokes about living to be old enough to be shot by a jealous husband or things like that. But no, I didn't give it a lot of thought. But when I did start thinking about it, I thought, I don't know enough about it anyhow. So that led me to the Alpha course, and it led me to come in to be baptised, and it led me to be a Christian. And yes, it filled a gap in my life. I didn't know the gap was there, but it was like a vacuum, and everything came into it, and I took it hook, line and sinker. I want to be a Christian, and I did become a Christian, because I got baptised, and I'm there, home and dry. I've got an end view now, that I'm going to be in what heaven is, but I haven't got a clue what it is, but I'm going to be in heaven with people I love and have loved. And I could name people, think, oh, I'm dying to see him or her again. That would be wonderful. But what it's going to take shape like, or what, I don't know. But at least, like the answer to your question, yeah, the difference is I've now got an end. I've got an end to it.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of sin, Father turned his face away, as wounds which for the chosen one bring many sons to glory. I will not boast. all these pieces broken and scattered. In mercy gathered, mended and torn. Empty-handed, but not forsaken. I've been set free.
As people, we lose things.
Huh?
We lose our remotes.
Come on, come on.
We lose our glasses.
Has anyone seen my glasses? Anyone?
And lose our keys.
Whoa.
Keys.
Keys?
We even lose things that aren't things. We can lose face. Lose ground.
Whoa!
Lose focus.
Do I look blurry?
Yes.
And lose our cool. We say things like, you snooze, you lose.
I'm tired.
He lost his shirt.
Hey!
And have you lost your mind?
The brain!
Many things get lost, but the worst thing we lose is our way.
Hey!
And that's when it's time to search. Searching can be messy.
Gross.
Searching can be scary.
Hey, a flashlight.
And searching can hurt.
Whoa.
But in the end, a search is the only way to get found.
Thanks.
And this was under your couch.
My remote.
And found is the best way to be.
God's awesome.
We've all been there, haven't we? You know, we've lost something. One of those situations, it could be our keys, like they were saying, or money. It could be our TV remote, or even our cool, or even our way, interestingly. And what we want in those moments is to find that which we've lost. That's it, isn't it? Sometimes, if it's our face or our dignity, actually what we want is the ground to open up and swallow us. We are so, so embarrassed and we think, oh no, just get me out of the situation. At other times, it's important enough, you know, we'll spend hours and hours and hours searching. We'll empty everything, we'll go through whatever it is we've lost. We'll sort all sorts of places. In fact, we might even find things which we were searching for a few years ago and hadn't found them again, you know, so it's interesting. I remember at one point losing all sorts of things and trying to find it, and you think, you search high and low. But there was another time, and I remember we lost the car. Well, we lost where we parked it anyway. It was at the end of a concert or something. I actually can't remember where it was. I think it might have even been abroad somewhere. And it was the end, and everyone was pouring out, and it was a massive car park, a bit like this little picture. And you think, where is it? I can't remember where the car was. So the key fob had got one of those sort of buttons on it. And I pushed the button, and the horn went, and the lights were going. But guess what? Everyone else did exactly the same. So I couldn't, you know, eventually, of course, we did find the car. But it was so, so annoying. And you think, what's the matter with me? But, you know, when you think about it, we usually lose stuff because we've put it down somewhere. It could be that we lose our way and we forget where we've come, and sometimes we have to even retrace our steps to find where we are. Other times, like we've said, you know, like Rich shared earlier, you lose your parents, and or you lose where you are, or you get lost. Well, one of the things I remember was it happened to us and our son John. We lost him. I think he was about 6 or 7. I can't remember. Not dissimilar to sort of setup to what Rich was talking about. And he went off on a strop. We were in a walk in a big natural park, and he went off on a strop. Because we said he couldn't do something, I can't remember what it was. And it was getting dusk, it was getting darker, and time went on, and we couldn't find him. We didn't know where he was. We searched and we searched. But eventually, we went back to our car, and we saw a lady walking down the track opposite us, holding this little boy's hand, and of course it was our son. Oh, I tell you, what at that point, as much as we were a little bit annoyed, the fact was it was the reunited aspect which was really important from our point of view. We were brought back together, and that was the important aspect of it. And the stress suddenly subsided, the blood pressure, I'm sure, dropped, and that sense of assurance and that peace of mind was restored. Because that's what it's like when you really are lost and you're thinking, I want to get back to where I was, or I want that assurance and that important thing to come back. And I'm sure that's what drives us in our search. It depends on how important these things are and its value to us. I'm sure it really can be that. And you know, in some ways, I would suggest that when it comes to the bigger issues of life, we're still searching, or we are wanting to search. You know, what's it all about? What is life here? Why are we here? And who am I? And about even making life choices, the bigger decisions, which you know, happens, you know, we need to go through it. And sometimes if we make the wrong choices, it gets hard, it gets difficult. And we all do it from time to time. We make a choice. I remember about buying a car once and thinking, that was a wrong choice to make. And it throws you, and it takes away that sort of sense of security. Now, I don't know how you're feeling about bigger questions of life at the moment. It may be that at the present, you know, you're in the middle of this whole pandemic. Perhaps you're a bit concerned about what's happened. It might be that you've lost a relative. Or you've been really ill yourself and it's threatened your world. Perhaps it's the fact that with the economy and everything shutting down, you've lost money. Or you've even lost your job. You know, these things can happen very quick. And what we need to be doing is just having some sort of security that actually we're not out there being lost, but actually we've found something which is like an anchor for us in life. And actually what we want in these sort of times, I suppose, is someone to step in. Someone, a bit like Richard's sort of friend of his dad, who was there. As scary as that little bit was, but I tell you, sometimes we need someone to step in, to sort it out for us. Someone who we can share it with, or someone to talk to, or even cry on their shoulder as well. But we want someone to come and rescue us out of that situation when we are lost. We want someone committed enough to search for us, and to help us, and to show us a way through. I'm sure you would agree. But this is exactly what God does for us. Because, like at the end of that short video, God's not one of those sort of distant sort of figures which we might think, or a nasty father or something like that who just keeps at a distance. No, he wants to be there. And he doesn't want us to actually try and find our own way. He's got a good plan for us and he wants us to find him. And in fact, when Jesus was around, he told lots of stories, lots of parables about people who to illustrate the same point, in fact, how God reacts in these situations. And he told some particularly about people who were lost, or situations which were lost. And even though the illustrations he used were very contemporary for his day, the same point comes across. And in Luke 15, he actually uses three stories. He talks about a lost sheep, he talks about a lost coin, and then he talks about a lost son, and which is very similar to my son and to Richard, of course, who is his son of his dad. So, you know, he was determined to find these things, and in each of those stories there was somebody who was prepared to search. So let me read you the first two parables and then summarise the third one. So Jesus told this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go and search for the one that was lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. And when he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbours and saying, rejoice with me, because I have found that my lost sheep. And in the same way, there is joy in heaven whenever there is one lost person who repents, one sinner who repents and returns to God, over 99 others who are righteous and have not strayed away. Or suppose a woman has 10 coins, 10 silver coins, and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she will call in her friends and her neighbours and say, rejoice with me, because I found my lost coin. In the same way, Jesus says, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. And then this third story. It was interesting. A man had two sons, he said, and the younger one comes to ask his dad for his inheritance, and he asked for it early so he could go off and do what he wanted. So his dad gave him the money, so he went off and spent it all on wild living and experiencing the world. But the money soon runs out, and he becomes destitute, and he ends up feeding pigs. In fact, at one point he was so hungry, he hadn't got the money, that he actually considered even eating the pig food. But in the end, this boy, this son, comes to his senses and decides to go home. And he's even prepared to become a servant to his dad rather than be restored as a son. So let me read you the last little bit from verse 20. And it says, so he returned to home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming, filled with compassion and love. He ran to his son, he embraced him, and he kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But his father said to his servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf that we've been fattening. We must celebrate and feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. So my question this morning is, are you feeling lost? Are you feeling a bit as though something's missing? Not sure what life is really all about? Not sure where you fit? Perhaps you're feeling insecure about the future, and especially in these days. Well, God is searching for you. He is searching for you. He's wanting. He's already out there trying to find you. You are important to him. He loves you more than you can ask or imagine or even experience. He cares for you. He's looking out for you. He wants you to come home. But as with him, God is searching. And you may be a bit like Bob. Bob wasn't looking. He didn't think that there was an alternative to life. But as it was, Bob found there was another dimension, a completely different way of being. But God was searching for him. Interestingly, just through a 9-year-old boy. But isn't that fantastic? God is searching. And he's there for us if we turn to him. Because he wants to rescue us. He wants us to turn our lives around. Because a lot of the time we're not doing what he would be the best. We're not experiencing life as he's designed it and planned it to be. And we do stuff. We make wrong choices. We stuff gets in the way. The Bible calls it sin. And it blocks that relationship with God. But you know, God is still on the search. And that's one of the reasons why he sent Jesus. It's one of the reasons why Jesus came. So that it would be an expression of God's love. And he's saying, hey, this is the way. This is the means back. This is like my map when you're lost. This is me finding you when you are lost. And in one sense, you know, God is expressing his love to us. There is nothing that you can do or have done to make God love you anymore. And there's nothing that you have done or you can do to make God love you any less. He loves you because you are who you are. He loves me because I am who I am. He wants us to find who we truly are, to find out what life can really be about, why he's made us the way he's made us. And he wants to set us free, he wants to cleanse us, he wants to remove the stuff which is stopping us from entering into that fullness of purpose which he has for us. He wants us to be free, and he wants to release us and to experience that life in all its fullness which he's promised to bring. And that's exactly what he wants to do for us. He wants you to be found by him. Will we allow that to happen? Will you let God find you and bring you home today? What I want to do, just before we bring our service to a close, is I'm going to read you a prayer, and you can come back and to play this again if you want. But I'm going to read you a prayer which you can pray if you want to be found in God. And it goes very simple, and it's this. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things that I have done wrong in my life. And you might want to list what those things are. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything I know that is wrong. I realize that I am lost and I want to be found. So thank you that you died for me on the cross so that I could be forgiven and set free and found. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Holy Spirit, which brings me real life in its fullness. I receive that gift now. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Just a reminder, if you want to ask me any questions about this, it's going to be a little bit after 11, but please click on the Zoom connection in the comments, and it would be great to talk to you. Thanks.
Thanks, Mark. We're going to finish by singing Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Twas
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit
be with us all evermore.
Amen.
Amen.